Hello, and welcome to Developmental Talent. Your ears are about to be crammed full of the most action-packed wrestling podcast on the entire fucking planet. And it's exclusively on FreakSugar.com. Now, here's your host, hailing from parts unknown, Lemon Juice McGee.
Welcome to episode 52 of Developmental Talent Podcast, the Freak Sugar exclusive professional wrestling podcast that covers, well, everything wrestling related.
Everything.
Every single goddamn thing.
Fuck yeah, we do.
Every drop.
It's also very not safe for work. We're going to say fuck and
dick.
Talk about, we're going to describe assholes in depth.
Depths and assholes.
And
scrotum.
Scrotums. I'm your host, Lemon Juice McGee, and with me tonight is the fighting man, Matt Pierce.
I got moves like a cat, talk like a rat, sting like a bee. I'm going to be your man.
And our resident wrestling historian, Hoagie Masters.
What the fuck did you just say,
man? That's T-Rex, man.
Good for you.
It's old T-Rex.
Don't encourage
it's a song.
Just don't encourage
it's a song.
So, on tonight's show, we are going to, we'll be doing the figure five, we'll be doing This Week in Wrestling History, we'll be talking about Money in the Bank, which happened this past Sunday, we'll mention the fallout from Raw, along with some info on the upcoming WWE draft, where they're going to be splitting the rosters.
And we'll all be naked the whole time.
I'm not going to be naked.
My clothes are on.
That's not true.
That, yeah, you're naked, Ogie.
Yeah.
You and Matt are both fucking
the
naked.
The fuck?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's weird.
Neither here nor there. Let's get into the figure five.
The figure five.
This is the figure five, the point of the show where we do a top five list, sometimes serious, sometimes funny, always wrestling related. What do you have for us tonight, Matt?
Well, recently at Dominion, Naito was one of the first people ever to kick out of the Rainmaker clothesline. It's one of the most protected moves in all of wrestling.
So Okada's finisher.
Okada's finisher, yeah. He doesn't always get it, but when he gets it, no one ever kicks out of it. It's the opposite of Hamano's headbutt. So I thought I'd make a list of the top five most protected moves in all of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Finishers that bookers generally made sure they were pretty much undeniable. They put you out.
It was the end of the match.
That was it.
Yep.
All right.
So start number five. I got the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Yep.
Because it was a big deal back in the day.
Yeah. Back around about the 96 era, you knew when he threw his hands up, that was it. He hit that Diamond Cutter, the match was over.
Yeah. And for a while in WCW, DDP was the only good guy left in WCW.
Pretty much.
Everybody else was in NWO, and DDP had broken ribs for like 4 years straight. And I remember at least once held off the entire NWO with the threat of diamond cutting them.
Yes.
So, and I mean,
the only man I can remember right off that kicked out of the diamond cutter was the man who went like 173-0, Bill Goldberg.
Yeah.
It's the only man I can think of that ever kicked out of it.
Yeah, and coincidentally enough, DDP is also one of the people that people thought might end the streak.
Yeah, because he came very close to Halloween Havoc 98.
Yep. And at number four, we got the Bamaye knee.
Yes.
Also known now as the Kinshasa, I believe. I may have butchered that.
Kinshasa.
Yeah. Mostly because Bamaye means kill him. But the only time I can recall it being kicked out of is when Ibushi actually used it against Nakamura. And he kicked out of it because he's the king of it.
Yeah, the Bombay, very devastating maneuver.
Yep, knee to the face.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you look at the knee plus, which is kind of Daniel Bryan's version of it, even then it was still pretty protected. I mean, he knocked out John Cena clean with it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, in New Japan, every major victory that Nakamura took, probably practically every victory, was with this move.
Yeah.
And once it was hit, no matter how big the opponent, no matter if it was AJ Styles or Okada or anybody. Yeah. Like, that was it. Done. You know, and like I say, Ibushi did it to him.
Yep.
And he kicked out. But when he did it to Ibushi, Ibushi did not kick out.
Yeah, and then you got to look at like Tanahashi, the ace of Japan, the ace of the entire universe. It takes 47 frog splashes from him, like preceded by 800 dragon screws just to keep a person down. Yep. One bombing game. You know, like,
that's it.
It's done.
And so far in NXT, it's a modified version, not quite as devastating with the Kinshasa, but so far it's done the same thing.
Yeah.
He hits it, they're done.
You're done.
Yeah. And I mean, so far, so good as far as it being protected in the States as well. So.
Yep, yep. And then that was number four. Number three, we have Hulk Hogan's leg drop.
Arguably could be the first. I'm sure a lot of people listening to the animal will say this is the first. Trust me, we got a couple more coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The leg drop was, I mean, for what it was, you don't really go back and see that many people kicking out. People will move, but that's not the same thing as kicking out of it.
Now, WCW, kicking out was a little more frequent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NWO Hogan didn't have as much luck with it.
But, yeah, I mean, NWO Hogan was also heel, so you couldn't really, you know.
Well, like there was that WCW video game, right, where Hogan's finisher was like, he scraped your back.
He scraped your back, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it was pretty shitty.
There's one man I know was straight up kicked out of it, and that was Yokozuna.
Well,
he was a 500-pound man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah. And then, of course, like Hogan missed it on Warrior.
Yeah.
And then got splashed. So that was... That really wasn't someone kicking out of it. That was just avoiding it. Which
he just didn't connect.
Yeah, which is not part of the rules. But yeah, like for a long time, you get leg dropped by Hulk Hogan, you're just done.
Yeah.
It's over.
Which one of the reasons that number three is because it's insane. Like if you watch even 5 minutes of the shittiest wrestling match on Monday Night Raw, you will see 20 moves that are far more devastating than a leg drop.
Yeah, yeah. Especially a leg drop from a man who had the largest arms in the world. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you hit a clothesline?
The man with...
Sleeper hold.
The silken hair of a Chinese man and the skin of a hot dog.
The 24-inch python. You know why people couldn't kick that leg drop?
Why?
Because it was full of vitamins and saying your prayers.
Yeah.
And baby oil.
And baby oil. There you go.
Money.
That's number three. Most protected moves of all time. Number two is the crossface chicken wing from Bob Backlund, which I will remember till the day I die. Bret Hart and Bob Backlund had a feud, and Bret Hart went to the dungeon, which if you aren't familiar, it's where his father lived and tortured people for fun and profit. He basically trained people to wrestle like Bret Hart. And I remember... Stu Hart and Bret Hart trying to like work on counters for it, and Stu was looking at him and saying, "Man, the only way to counter the crossface chicken wing is to not get put in a crossface chicken wing."
Yeah, Bob Backlund actually won the WWF title over it. It was a submission match, and you had to throw in the towel. There was a person on each end had to throw in the towel to determine the winner. Well, Bret wasn't going to give up in it. And Owen, who was a heel at the time, went over to his mom and begged and pleaded, throwing the towel, he's going to hurt him and everything, you know, trying to help Bob Backlund win. And sure enough, Martha Hart threw in the towel.
Yeah, she's foolish. Foolish. But there you go. The best there is, best there was, best there ever will be. Excellence of execution could not counter the crossface chicken
wing. No, there's no way getting out of it.
And on the list, it's pretty high on the list. But, and it's not like it was always protected for years and years and years and years and years. It's not like it had this lineage of Bob Backlund used it from the beginning of time and no one ever countered it. The thing is, it was never... Like, most of these other moves have at least one time somebody's kicked out.
Yeah.
Not that.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, nobody could get out of it.
Yeah.
And that old bastard is on WWE TV now with Darren Young doing some crazy shit. The question is, will he show him how to do the move?
If he does, Darren Young will be WWE World Heavyweight Champion within a month. Because what are people going to do? You can't Superman punch your way out of a crossface chicken wing? Ain't no way.
No.
It's done.
I just wonder if he'll have him do the Harvard step test.
Probably. Although the night he told him not to take any advice from anybody, including himself, so it was weird.
That is very odd.
Yeah, but moving on, we have some honorable mentions. Because a lot of these moves were used to win world titles. You know, like the Crossface Chicken Wing won the world title. You know, the Hogan Leg Drop won a bunch. DDP won a 3-time champion. You know, that was the whole deal. He's multiple-time champion. Just some moves here, these guys, they won some titles, not the big one. So you got the Perfectplex for one. Because once Mr. Perfect locked it in, you pretty much didn't get out of it. That was the whole deal.
From my memory serves me correctly, the matches I've seen, only one guy was able to kick out of it when it was completely locked in. That was Bret Hart, their match at SummerSlam for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, one guy. And Mr. Perfect wrestled for a long time.
Yes, he did.
Another protected move, the Razor's Edge. I don't recall anybody kicking out of the Razor's Edge, especially when Razor Ramon was doing it.
Yeah, I don't recall anybody.
Now, maybe the Outsider's Edge might have gotten kicked out of a couple times. Goldberg might have or something. I don't know. But
yeah, also got to the point where he just quit doing it.
Yeah, yeah, because he's just drunk all the time.
Yeah, he's just too stoned to do that. Because you're doing it wrong, you're going to snap somebody's neck.
You'll kill somebody, yeah. And then you might say, well, why aren't moves like the F5 on the list? Well, that's because Dean Ambrose, earlier this year, destroyed the F5 as a credible finisher.
I mean, when you have Ambrose kicking out of it multiple times, you have Cena kicking out of it multiple times in a match. If it takes three to put down The Undertaker, it's not that effective.
Yeah. The pedigree has been kicked out of multiple times. You know, so it's protected, but not that much.
Yeah. I mean, that's how a lot of these were. And it makes it tougher to narrow down. And it's like, well, the Razor's Edge, like we just said, I mean, can't remember anybody kicking out of it. But you know what? It didn't like he used it to go get the WWE World title. So
that's true. Yeah. That's true. You
know, it obviously wasn't that important. Yep. I mean, as far as like on their protected moves, it was like, oh, this is a big deal. But not devastating enough that they felt that it was, you know, deserving of all that.
Right, right, right. Now, number one, I called an audible. I have a 1 and a 1A. Number one, the number one protected move of all time, in my opinion, is the DDT. Jake the Snake Roberts DDT. If he hit it, you were dead. You was done. That's all there was to it. Like, other people have DDTs, and they might hit it, and you might kick out of it. But
yeah, you might hit it 4 times in a match.
Yeah, if Jake Roberts DDTs you, you're dead. That's all there is to it. I mean, Ricky Steamboat, done. You know, like all of
those. Yeah, it was on concrete, to be fair.
I mean, that's how you do it, though.
He may have. He almost did kill him.
Yeah.
He got a concussion.
He told him it happened. He told him.
He literally nearly killed Macho Man.
Yeah.
With DDTs and a snake.
Well, you know, he's Jake the Snake. That's what he does.
Yeah.
But I don't recall any more like dangerous a move than Jake the Snake Roberts DDTing people. Now my 1A is a tag team maneuver. It's the Doomsday Device.
Yeah, I don't remember anyone kicking out of this.
Especially when the Road Warriors hit it. People have ducked it. I remember RVD ducked it once. But if you hit it, you rad dogged and you were just done. You were done. Now they won a world title everywhere they went with it. And the Road Warriors are super protected.
Yeah. I almost feel like that would be the singular number one almost because Jake the Snake, you know? I mean, it's kind of the Razor Ramon situation.
He did not win a world title. You're right.
Yeah, very true. Yeah,
you're right. Yeah. So that's the list. Let's look back over it. We got the Diamond Cutter at number 5. At number four, we have the Bomb AA. Number 3, we have Hogan's Leg Drop. 2 is a cross-faced chicken wing, and number 1 is a tie for the DDT in the Doomsday Device. And that's it for the Figure 5.
This week in wrestling history.
It's that time of the show where we take a look back into the past of wrestling history, and we are guided by none other than our resident wrestling historian, the naked and glistening wet Hoagie Masters. What do you have for us tonight, Hoagie?
All right, we're going to start off. We're going to go way back in time.
All the way back.
All the way back to
300 BC.
Not that far back. We're not going to talk about the gladiators.
Okay.
June 19th, 1948, to be exact, I guess you can call it a promotion kind of deal. A group of the regional promotions decided to get together and form one giant promotion and have one world champion, which is known as the National Wrestling Alliance, the NWA.
It's not TNA?
We'll get there in a minute.
NWA.
It was the original NWA.
Some people's mind, the most legitimate title in wrestling.
Yeah, which it's still going on today. It's the NWA title.
Yep, its lineage goes all the way back to Gene Hackenschmidt.
And Frank Gotch. Yeah, back in the beginning of the 1900s.
Yep.
All right, moving on. You mentioned TNA a second ago.
I did. Okay. Accidentally.
The very first NWA TNA show took place June 19th, 2002.
In Nashville, Tennessee. Probably.
I think it was in Alabama, actually.
Really? Alabama.
Alabama.
From what I read, Alabama. I think it was in Alabama. It was Alabama or Nashville. But Toby Keith performed.
Of course he did.
Yes, and they had a big battle royal for the NWA title.
Is that one Ken Shamrock won?
Yes, Mr. Shamrock won.
Ken Shamrock, who... That guy, I mean, he's got to come back to something.
You'd think.
You know?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. But it was the start of with a promotion that's still going today.
Somehow. Yeah.
They dropped the NWA.
14 years.
I bet there's still a bottle return project, like a program in like Florida.
Like
wherever
it's their 14-year anniversary.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And every single day, every single fucking day for the past 14 years, the internet has said that they are shutting down that day.
Yeah.
Then the next day, they're shutting down. Then.
Yep.
For 14 fucking years, the internet wrestling community has been wrong.
You know why they won't shut down now, right?
Why?
Because they have Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy will never die.
He's stronger than death.
So they'll never die now.
I mean, maybe.
Okay, anyway. Moving on. Another first. It's kind of the first big wrestling reality show that ever came out in 2001. The very first episode of Tough Enough aired.
Yep. MTV.
Yep.
Taz as a coach.
Yes. Al Snow.
Yep.
Maven. Nydia were the winners.
Maven.
That season.
Huffman.
Yep. And then Chris Nowinski got like...
He was second.
Second place.
Yep.
But he still got a contract.
Yeah, he still got a contract.
Wasn't Josh Matthews involved in that one, too? Was that later
on? Yes, that was the one Josh Matthews was on. Yes.
Yeah. Basically, if you were in the top five, you got to do something.
That's cool. I mean,
they also, I don't know, that first season, man, it looked like they bust those people's asses.
Oh, yeah, they bit shit.
Is that the year that Triple H was like
punking
people out?
Yeah.
And then the guy shot in Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle was going to kill him and all kinds of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was also, they did their tryouts in New York, because that was whenever WWE had their restaurant.
Yeah.
And so you went to New York. Well, you sent in tapes, and if you were accepted on the tapes, you went to New York, and then you got to try out in the ring in front of Taz and everybody, and they picked people from there, and then it went on, and they put them in a house, real world style, and like it was like a full thing. It wasn't some part of SmackDown. It was like its own full show.
Yeah,
and, they're on the network now.
Yeah, I actually went back and watched the first two or three seasons they had before they started rebooted it and everything.
Yep. I guess from that class, Chris is still with the company. He does a lot of concussion work.
Yeah, he does that. Maven
got thrown through a popcorn machine by the Undertaker.
Yeah, he did.
And Nydia was with Jamie Noble as his sister / girlfriend, I think.
Yep. Yeah, and they won the lottery.
Yeah.
No, they got an inheritance. That's what it was.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. Moving on. WCW title, very prestigious title in history. Well, around the early 1990s, there was an incident that happened. Ric Flair had the WCW world title. Well, he decided to leave. Went to WWF. So they had to make a new WCW title. Well, once the belt that Flair had came back, they decided to use that belt as the international title. So around 1994, they decided to merge the belts back to one.
Since having a world belt and an international belt, it means the same thing.
I think intercontinental and world kind of mean the same thing.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that match took place. It wasn't even on a pay-per-view, actually. It was on a Clash of the Champions.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a pay-per-view.
They're giving us some prestige. Yeah, they're pumping TBS.
That's sort of a pay-per-view.
Yeah. It was Ric Flair versus Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Flair ended up getting the win and went on the next month for Hulk Hogan's WCW, first match in WCW for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to use the big gold belt instead of the smaller belt that was the WCW title.
That smaller title kind of resembles the Attitude Era WWF title.
Yeah, kind of. In a way. Yeah, yeah. I think that's what they kind of based it on a little bit, probably.
You know, I think we have talked about the WCW International title on our show more than WCW talked about their damn title on their show.
I think we've given it far more time on the air than they ever did.
Yeah.
You know why?
Because Rick Rude held it.
Greatest wrestler ever. Rick Rude had it.
That's right.
Hoagie has a picture of Rick Rude naked and no way nothing but that title.
Rude's a man.
Yeah, he is. He's a man.
He's a man.
Speaking, he was. Speaking of the man.
Worm food now. Sorry, Hoagie.
Probably one of the greatest wrestlers ever. One of his biggest moments in his career happened this week. It was...
The man? You mean like Roman Reigns? The man?
The Miz? Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Not even close.
Oh.
Granted, the Miz was mentioned on this guy's show tonight.
John Cena?
No. June 23rd, 1996. King of the Ring. Does anybody want to take a guess?
Jake Snake Roberts won that one because the Lord. The Lord helped him.
Yeah,
he got that's it what his I hand. That's he got it his hand.
Yeah.
And he was handling snakes. Yeah. And winning King of the Ring.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he did.
That's exactly what happened.
He DDT'd Michael P.S. Hayes and took that damn crown and said, the only person that wears a crown around my house is Jesus.
What kind of network are you all watching?
Tossing the offering plate. Beyond the Mat. This all happened on Beyond the Mat.
It's a true story.
Like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't just a fever dream brought on by bad chicken sandwiches from Burger King that we ate earlier.
Horrible chicken sandwiches.
But I'm pretty sure that Jake Snake Roberts hobbled his way to a victory at the King of the Ring.
And then he won a world title, and he still has it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's back in shape and can defend it.
On the actual version of the show.
The unaired pilot of the show, yes. That you're talking about?
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Won the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Never heard of him. Who's that?
Ringmaster?
Stunning Steve Austin?
This was the guy who became...
The Ringmaster. Now, I like the Ringmaster.
Yeah, he's cool.
He is a good wrestler.
He's a good wrestler. Hands up, Ted DiBiase. That guy's cool.
Ted DiBiase sucks.
Yeah, that's true. He does.
He was originally the Ringmaster, then became Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mm. Well, he won the 96 King of the Ring and decided to cut a big promo on Jake the Snake Roberts.
They let the guy who feuded with Savio Vega win the King of the Ring?
Yes, they did.
Oh.
He got up there and... talked about Jake reading the Bible and everything. It's like, you know, you can read your Bible, you can thump your Bible and read your Psalms and read John 3:16. And, well, Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass.
And thus a shirt was born.
Yes. And I'll always remember that because Michael P.S. Hayes is mouthing it to him, and I have no idea why. Like, if you watch it, he's mouthing the words back to Stone Cold as he says them. It's the stupidest thing.
Like, Michael P.S. Hayes is repeating the words back after Stone Cold says them, or he's telling Stone Cold to say them?
He's mouthing them silently as Stone Cold says them.
So, technically, it's possible.
Like, P.S. Hayes maybe wrote it and was so fucking into it.
Yeah.
Like, he was chubbed up under his fanny pack, like, with that microphone while Stone Cold was saying it.
That's a possibility, yes.
That's a possibility that Stone Cold did not create Austin 3:16, but Michael P.S. Hayes... created it.
I mean, he's a very... He's
a free bird.
Stone Cold Steve Austin is a very inebriated man who let's talk about abuse a lot. So
yes, he does.
If he says he
and
made it,
400 words.
If he says he made it, he made it.
Okay.
Who are you to question the ringmaster?
Yeah.
What's next?
Next up, talking about the man you don't mess with, the Big Red Machine. One of the most shocking moments in the history of Raw happened. It was...
Katie Vick.
No. But it does involve Kane.
It's pretty shocking.
June 23rd, 2003.
Zack Ryder attempting to change a flat tire.
No.
For an entire Raw episode.
No. What had happened was Kane wanted another shot at the World Heavyweight title. And so Triple H made him a deal. He said, you get your shot.
Now, which version of Kane was this?
It's Demon
Describe
Kane.
His outfit.
He you know, he had the red and the black. He still had the mask.
Did he have
it,
one?
Did it cover his mouth?
No.
Mm.
Did he have a sleeve covered?
I don't think so.
Was
no.
it was it before he was a convict or after? It was before he was unmasked.
Yeah. This is the unmasking.
So the mouth was cut out of the mask at this point.
Yeah.
So this was like when he was with Lita?
After he knocked up Lita.
No. This him and RVD were tag team partners. And
this is Slim Kane.
Yes.
Slim
Kane. Yeah. So yes.
Mesh shirt Kane.
Yeah.
Triple H made the deal. I'll give you the match, but if you lose, you have to take off the mask. So Triple H won the match with the help of Evolution.
His shovel.
So RVD comes out, helps him, makes the save for him, for Kane, and you know, they're sitting in the ring, and Bischoff comes out. He's like, you made the deal, take off the mask. So he hesitates, and you know, RVD's trying to be there for moral support, and he takes it off. And it's just, his face is like,
they have makeup all over it.
Yeah, and his hair was weird.
But it wasn't burnt.
Yeah. No, it was just like he had sweated through eyeliner.
Yeah.
And then he turned on RVD and chokeslammed him.
Yeah.
They had a feud. And then in September of that year, he hooked a car battery up to Shane McMahon's balls.
He also lit JR on fire that year.
He did.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Because the whole deal was Kane was not physically burnt, he believed himself to be burned.
So he was like Ricky Bobby.
Which is a pretty,
yes.
Which is a pretty awesome psychological thing to
yeah.
pull off.
Yeah.
Is that he's so mentally scarred that he believes he's physically scarred.
Yeah.
A great way to do it.
They didn't do anything with it. No. But it was really awesome of an idea.
Yeah.
But he did burn JR, who squealed like a pig.
Yeah, he set him on fire.
Yeah, he did.
I'm still not 100% sure that was actually JR laying there. I'm assuming it was just some fat dude.
Same difference.
But he set a dude on fire.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
Very, very shocking moments of Raw. Ones we'll never forget.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I mean, it's not like giving birth to a hand or
punt kicking a baby, or having a live sex celebration,
or
having your limousine blow up,
or Katie Vick,
or anything with Mankind and The Rock.
That is true. Or going to rescue your father from Randy Orton only to murder him yourself.
Or Choppy Choppy Pee Pee.
Mm. Choppy Choppy Pee Pee. Or
the cement truck. That was pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, cement truck
the,
was.
The which cement truck?
The cement truck with Paul Bearer.
That was a pay-per-view.
That's that the first time Paul Bearer died in storyline. In storyline!
Hey, you know, to this day, I still don't know how that magician trick worked. They literally must have had a magician rig that. Because when I watch it, I don't know. I don't know that shit works.
I've heard a rumor.
That they cloned Paul Bear?
That it was a robotic Paul Bear.
A robotic?
What? There's no
it was either
fucking
it was either
way.
A robotic or a dummy Paul Bear. I've heard
but
this. It's moving.
It's moving and talking and shit.
It's going, oh, no.
Vince has got billions of dollars.
He doesn't have billions of dollars.
He doesn't have Terminator technology.
I mean,
know of.
If he did, that's all we would see on Monday Night Raw. There would be no actual wrestling. It would just be Terminators just dry humping each other's faces off.
We'll know in 37 years if Triple H is still like, you know, wrestling. He's still champion. Well, I got Terminator body. What do you want?
Well, he might have destroyed all the Terminators in his WrestleMania.
Now, he's the king of the Terminators now.
I don't know if somebody went to the future or not. But there's a promo video.
You don't know.
I don't
know if someone went to the future or not. They did not, Hoagie. No one went to the future because you can't do that.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
Do you have a DeLorean?
No.
All right, then.
I didn't, but this guy who made this video might have. What? He has this promo video for WrestleMania 45.
What?
And it's like, apparently...
Is it...
Triple H has a son, somehow. And
is he fighting Terry Funk?
He's fighting a robotic Kurt Angle.
It's true.
For the WWE title.
You know, Kurt Angle's a goddamn American hero. And you respect him.
And then Randy Orton's kids fighting Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon's head.
That's
but is the kid called Randy Orton's kid?
No, it's like...
Randy Orton's got a daughter.
I forget what the hell his name was. It was something Orton.
So you're just assuming.
Oh, it looked like Randy Orton.
It looked, they have tattoos.
They just messed his hair up a little bit.
Could it be because it was just a photoshopped image of Randy Orton?
And then they had Hulk Hogan.
You are very gullible,
Hogan. Hulk Hogan?
You are freakishly gullible.
Hulk Hogan's not actually immortal, Hogan.
Hulk Hogan dressed as Santa Claus fighting an alien.
I don't know.
It's crazy stuff, but yeah, that wraps up this week in wrestling history.
Time for the post-purview.
This is the post-purview for WWE Money in the Bank, which took place on Sunday, June the 19th, 2016, live on the WWE Network, and pay-per-view if you are silly and don't understand how the WWE Network works.
It's true.
And it was overall a pretty decent show.
Yeah, well, the back half definitely was.
Mm-hmm.
The first few matches kind of didn't click exactly for me. But yeah, it definitely ended very strong.
Yeah. We had two pre-show matches before the actual main show kicked off. Had the Golden Truth versus Breezango.
I don't care about that.
Okay. Lucha Dragons versus the Dudleys was the second match.
I also don't care about any of that.
Okay. On to the main card.
There we go.
First match was for the tag team titles of the Fatal 4-Way. The New Day defended against The Club, Anderson Gallows, Enzo and Cass, and the Vaudevillains.
Yep. I felt like...
It was too much.
But I also felt kind of like this is the best chance that New Day had for losing a belt that they in recent time anyway. Mm-hmm. But they've been mentioning the record more and more lately, and they're getting close to it. So I feel like the New Day will get the record. I mean, they're the top selling merchandisers in the company right now.
Yeah. I mean, there was a few spots I really thought they were going to lose it, especially with Enzo and Cass. They did the rocket launcher with Enzo on to Anderson. And they nearly got the pin. I seriously thought they had it.
Well, and there's also the deal where, like, Big E picked up Gallows, just, like, deadlifted him off the ground and hit the big ending on him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good match, but to start off.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. And then the New Day retained.
Yes.
Yep.
So still tag team champions.
Yep.
Second match on the main card was Baron Corbin against Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
It didn't end in a dick punch or dick kick.
No, it was just Baron Corbin whipping his ass.
Yeah. Who cares?
So maybe Corbin can, wrestle somebody else.
Well, he's wrestling Zack Ryder, so maybe that's a step up.
Maybe it's a transition into an actual feud.
Maybe.
Third match, we had Charlotte and Dana Brooke versus Natalya and Becky Lynch.
This was a waste of all four of these ladies.
I think it's stupid to put a tag match on the card and not a match for the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially since what's the point of that? The big criticism against Nikki Bella and her record setting reign as champion was she never defended the belt. She defended it and she was in tag matches all the time. And at this point in time, it's pretty obvious that Sasha's not on TV because she's going to be on TV going into SummerSlam to hit the belt off of her. That's what they're going to do. So basically, they're just killing time for Sasha to take the belt. It's weird.
Yeah. So they kind of set up another feud at the end of it. Charlotte and Dana picked up the win. Natalya turned on Becky.
Yeah. I think that Charlotte might be kind of building a full horsewoman group around herself. And yeah. Natalya might join that.
It's possible. I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Because I know when Dana joined with Charlotte, Ric Flair called Dana the Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
Of that
that's,
group.
That's very true. Natalya works better as a heel anyway, and Becky's the most over-facing division you got, but they don't want her. It's weird. It's a weird situation.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation.
So we'll see how it plays. Next up, we had Apollo Crews versus Sheamus.
Which I thought was pre-show.
Yeah, originally, that and the Corbin match were originally pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved into the main card and put the tag matches on the pre-show.
It's a good call, I feel like.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a fine match. And Apollo Crews is continuing his winning streak in the WWE.
Yeah.
And they, a lot, I feel like, I mean, he won, it was pretty much straight away. I think the biggest takeaway from it was that the commentary team spent a lot of time talking about the Next Generation and how Sheamus was wanting to destroy them.
That maybe this is the seeds of the storyline going forward after the draft or something, maybe?
I think maybe that'll be a big part of the draft. Yeah.
Interesting.
I doubt they'll do it. This is by y'all talking about this. Made me think, what if they do all New Generation on one brand and the guy that's been there a while on the other brand to kind of, and then like feud them out?
That'd be okay, but they're wanting to keep them really separate.
Yeah.
And putting all the new guys on one, all the new guys, it could adversely affect it. Like,
yeah.
You need those bigger guys on some of the shows.
I know in WCW they kind of did an angle where it was the New Blood, all their new guys versus the Millionaires Club.
Yeah, but they were all on the same show.
Yeah, that was the thing on that.
You mean the angle where Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man Randy Savage destroyed the entire roster in one night?
Yes, they did.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Next up, we had the match. They were calling it the Dream Match. 15 years in the making. John Cena versus the Phenomenal One, AJ Styles.
I guess it was that. I guess.
I wasn't as into it as I thought I was going to be. And I think a lot of it was the pacing of the match.
It was off a little.
I think they were doing the deal where you got these two icons going at it, which works. It has worked in the past for Hogan and Cena and
Sting and Triple H.
The Rock and Cena.
Yeah.
And Cena and other individuals.
Yeah.
But it was very much like the I do a move to you, pause. We get up, we shake it off, you do a move to me, pause, the crowd reacts. You know, like a big WrestleMania match.
Everybody got their spots in.
But,
yeah,
it just used to AJ moving a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Cena moving kind of a lot more in regular matches. And so it seemed very plodding. I mean, it was good. The moves looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, The crowd was super into it. I read somewhere where somebody said they thought that it was they hadn't seen a crowd that like into a match like that since like Warrior Hogan, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
Those have been matches in this past year that people have been wanting to.
Yeah. So but it delivered, especially towards the end. It started picking up, but there for a while, I don't know, like maybe, and that's the thing, like, I mean, those guys know what they're doing. They're making all that money.
Yeah.
But it seems like maybe that type of pacing would work better for the ending when they're just doing their big moves than from the get-go. I don't know.
Yeah.
That may just be a personal thing, but it just seemed a little off.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, coming from where Cena was last year against Kevin Owens, the matches they had, I could see that. Yeah.
But, I mean, one of the factors might be is that Cena's not really had a match in 8 months. 7 months?
Quite a while.
That's true, and it came back really early. So there could be that attempting to stave off injury situation as well.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very true. But like I said, Cena, towards the end of the match, I mean, both men hit their big moves. The AA and Styles Clash kickouts. Cena went for the AA again, but Styles managed to hit the referee trying to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the ref went out, and Cena was able to get the AA, Had Styles covered. The crowd was chanting 1-2-3.
Yep.
No ref. So out comes Anderson and Gallows. Makes the save, hit the magic killer, and throws AJ on Cena. Ref comes in 1-2-3. AJ Styles, your winner.
That's right. AJ Styles has beaten John Cena.
AJ Styles has beaten John Cena. And that's all that matters.
That's right. In the record book, AJ Styles beat John Cena.
Yep. So far. Yeah. Right now.
No DQ, no count. Pin.
Yep.
Pin.
Kevin Owens beat John Cena.
Yep.
First time out.
That's true.
So far, Ring of Honor TNA, man. They're getting one up on him.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's possibly fighting Nakamura in Hawaii. We'll see how it goes.
It'll be good.
Bad day for him.
Next match, we had the one that really happened the most. The Money in the Bank ladder match.
Well, I mean, the show is called The Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, it affects WWE for the coming year, because the way it has worked as of recent is the people win the briefcase, and then it hangs around for a while with you wondering when they're going to cash in. You know, it builds up and builds up and builds up over pay-per-views, and, you know, eventually, you know, ends most of the time in a successful cash in.
Yeah, so, John Cena and Sandow, the only two times it didn't.
Yes.
Plus, a big thing here is that, one, we were all expecting a seventh entrant.
Yes.
Which did not occur.
Yeah, which I did see something today. Supposedly the original seventh person, there was a picture online that looks very legit. It was supposed to be Kalisto, apparently.
What?
Yeah, there's a picture that was shown on the network sometime on one of their shows. I think This Week in WWE got shown somehow.
Uh-huh.
And it had Kalisto in that match.
Hmm. Okay.
I had heard, too, that it had been John Cena, and he said no because he wasn't sure how ready he was to come back and do that kind of match.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the rumor of Bray Wyatt was also going around. That didn't happen.
But, I mean, nobody was the seventh.
Yeah, but you had six guys. The thing is, a lot of these six guys are very much like internet wrestling fan guys.
Yeah.
And then you have Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio. Yeah.
Which it was Ambrose, Jericho, Cesaro, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Alberto Del Rio in the match.
Yes. And it was a pretty good ladder match.
Yeah, it was very good.
It was
Money in the Bank always is good.
Yeah, it wasn't the best Money in the Bank match
I've seen.
But basically, you had everybody's enemies fighting each other. You had
Everybody paired off almost instantly from the time the bell rang.
Yeah. You had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn fighting it up. Cesaro and Alberto. And then
Jericho and Ambrose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think everybody managed to get up to the top and nearly get the briefcase. I think pretty much everybody got that shot. Except maybe I think Kevin Owens. I don't think he ever made it up that far.
Toward the end.
Yeah.
Toward the end.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember now. There was a point I thought Jericho had it.
Yeah.
I seriously thought Jericho was going to win it.
I mean, it would make kind of sense, I guess. It's his match.
Yeah, where he created it and, you know.
And if you give him Money in the Bank and then you put him on a different show, it's kind of not. But it didn't happen.
Yeah. Came down to Ambrose and Kevin Owens.
Yep.
Fought it down the ladder. And Ambrose has managed to get him off the ladder and climb up there and get the win.
Yes.
Yep. So Ambrose pulled the briefcase. And
it's Mr. Money in the Bank.
He was one of those guys that everybody was like, oh, yeah, cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They're fine with it.
Nobody really complained about that.
It'll be funny with the briefcase. That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Next up, we had for the United States title, Rusev against Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, I forgot that this match was going to happen.
I did too, actually.
If you're a longtime listener, you may recall that I at one point in time argued for a Titus O'Neil push.
Yeah,
I ranted
fervently
about it. Yeah.
Like for a Titus O'Neil.
Now push. That we're kind of getting it. I mean,
you can't go back on it now, you stubborn son of a bitch.
I'm glad he's getting the push. I just feel like that against Rusev. I feel like he's not being utilized his best
Typical
against Rusev.
Typical wrestling fan.
No.
Gets what he wants and then bitches about it.
That is true. I mean, I'm being kind
of... Son of a bitch.
I'm being an internet mark, I guess.
Why don't you go watch some TNA or something?
It's not our business yet?
No.
Why don't you go jerk off on some Dix Carter?
Okay. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Go watch some CZW. Watch people get ripped off barbed wire.
That bullshit. Well, Rusev basically won the match. It wasn't much of a match, honestly. He kind of just dominated him. But then, the thing after the in the match is, he went and told Titus O'Neil's kids that he was a horrible father, and he hoped that he had a great Father's Day. Which, I guess, is why they're fighting now.
Yeah, Titus was pretty ticked off on Raw tonight.
He was mad. He was so mad, he done an interview in the middle of his entrance.
Yeah, and he beat the hell out of Rusev, and Rusev just ran away.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on or care.
It's crazy.
So,
that's what we got.
Okay. Next up is it was
the cool down between the ladder match and the main event.
Yeah, which I figured that spot would have been for the Divas match.
It's not even that long of a match. The Divas match wasn't long, and this match was way shorter than that. Yeah.
The main event was for the WWE title. Roman Reigns defended against Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, who was out because of injury. Never lost his title. Come back for it. Former members of the Shield. Basically, I mean, they've written like the perfect scenario for these two guys to want to fight.
Yep. Seth was kind of facing this too.
He was cheered, yeah.
Well, it's kind of one of those anyone but Roman deals too.
Yeah,
that's true. That is true.
The way it was billed, you know, Reigns was the face and then Rollins was the heel, but the crowd's eyes is a little bit different.
Yes. It was a pretty solid match.
Yeah.
I mean,
some good spots in it.
Yeah. I mean, and it went a decent amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff. Roman went for a spear and Rollins turned it into a pedigree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
There's a few different things like that.
Roman speared the barricade. And they were checking him out. They thought that maybe he was hurt.
Yeah, I remember that. And then Seth took advantage at that point.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you do.
Beat the hell out of him, you know.
Yep. And then referee took a little bit of a spill. A little spilski.
Yeah.
And gave Seth some time to recover from a spear.
Yeah, and
yeah, Seth got caught right in the middle of the ring. Like,
yeah,
he was
done. Yeah, he was done. For him. But Roman bumped the ref, and he was down, so was not able to get the pin.
And then once the ref got back in, Rollins able to hit the pedigree.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And recapture that title.
Pinned Roman Reigns clean in the ring for the 1-2-3.
Trivia fact for you, Hoagie. That's Roman Reigns' first clean pin since 2012.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Leo Kruger was the last person to cleanly pin Roman Reigns in the middle of the ring.
Leo Kruger.
Wow.
The man who now posts pictures of his mugshot on t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Far, far from the halls of WWE corporate.
Yeah.
But Seth's win was not celebrated for very long.
No,
it was not.
He had the belt. He was so happy to have what was his eyes, rightfully his.
Yeah.
And then Dean Ambrose music hit.
Yep. Man, so Seth turned towards the ramp, ready for a fight. Ambrose blindsides him with the briefcase.
Kablammo!
Knocking him out. Run over to the referee, informing him he's cashing in his Money in the Bank.
I always think this is the funniest thing, because the wrestlers always hand it to the referee, and the referee is always like kind of confused about what's going on.
Yeah, somebody else.
It's like,
I'm refereeing.
Yeah. What do I do with this? Because I'm cashing it in. Like, oh, Lillian, I think he wants to do something with the suitcase.
And
say
then,
stuff.
Yeah, and then like the ref has to go hand it over.
Yeah.
And it's like he's cashing in.
And then Lillian has to announce it.
And then the guy in the ring has to recuperate.
Yeah. Rollins was up on his feet.
Yeah.
By the time Ambrose got back in the ring.
And then he was immediately knocked back down with the Dirty Deeds.
Yeah, Dirty Deeds. Yeah. And pinned. And in the course of a few minutes, all three former members of the Shield were WWE champion.
Yeah, in the course of about 3 minutes, the entire Shield was your champion.
But at the end of the night, it's all that mattered. Dean Ambrose, WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
Champion of the world, master of titties.
And everybody's pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm pleased.
Online now, I'm kind of seeing a lot of like complaints. It's just kind of weird because everybody was totally behind Ambrose, and now they're like,
he's a champion.
He's overrated. And he, you know, it's just like, but you all liked him.
He's got a widow's peak.
It's like, oh, is it because you want Seth Rollins to win for a little while and then him win? Or like, what do you, you know? It's like, you can't have everything you want.
Oh!
You want it off Reigns.
Dean Ambrose is okay, but why can't Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, and AJ Styles simultaneously hold a belt?
Yeah. They want it off Reigns. It's off Reigns.
Yeah.
But,
and the deal is, if you go back, there was some data released today. It might be off Reigns. Like, that might be it. Because his tours don't draw very well. They don't outdraw the B-show tours. And he's horrible for ratings. They're losing fans left and right. Yeah. You know? It's like the XFL all over again, only Roman Reigns.
What are you talking about? I love the XFL.
Yeah, you and like one other person.
XFL was great. I wish they'd bring it back.
Hoagie attended every XFL game.
Yeah, that's because the tickets were free and they're free
there.
There
were four of them. That's really all I got to say about the XFL. Yeah, I got nothing.
It's dumb. It was dumb.
I loved XFL, though. Why don't you?
Did you love it?
I did.
Who's your favorite player?
He hate me.
Name one other player.
You can't. Name a team he was on. What team would he play for? The XFL team. Yeah.
It's been like 15 years.
Yeah. I remember Brett Favre. He played 47 years ago. So there you go.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's an NFL crap.
Anyway. Might see the end of the Roman. Either way, it's leading to a Shield triple threat at Battleground, which I fear to be for SummerSlam, but whatever. You know, it'll be a good match.
Maybe both.
Yeah, they're bringing it up quicker than they'd planned, which means they may have some better stuff coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. They're like, oh, yeah, we got the Shield triple threat, but it's like, they got to think. They don't know what's going to happen when this draft hits.
That's true.
So, like, you know, they're leaving some shit open. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of the draft, I guess we'll talk about it a little later, but there's some news regarding it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that shortly. Yep. Money in the Bank overall, I don't know. I mean, it was all right.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the worst pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah.
Like a, I don't know. Like a solid C+. A solid B-. Semi-solid B.
I gave
WrestleMania. A liquefied B+.
I gave WrestleMania B-. I would give Money in the Bank like a C+. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all right. Like I said, in my view, the best Money in the Bank pay-per-view they've done so far was 2011. The one with John Cena and CM Punk as the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing, AJ
and Cena, I wish I was more into it than I was. Like, I wanted to be.
Now, I can tell you this. AJ Styles is going to be the WWE World Champion. It's going to happen. You can just tell it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just tell the way he carries himself. And the way they let him get himself over, that it's going to happen.
Yeah, next year and a half, I can see it happening.
I don't know if he'll be champion for months.
I'd say it depends if they make multiple world titles for the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true too. But he's a big enough deal that you could see him winning it, maybe at Rumble and holding it to Mania, you know? I could see that happening with him. And then maybe he goes on to, I don't know, work in the offices or whatever he wants to do. But, yeah.
So, there you go. Post-preview of 2016, Money in the Bank, which we are kind of wishy-washy about.
Yeah.
The big finish.
And that wraps things up for episode 52 of Developmental Talent Podcast. Before we go, we just still finished watching Raw a little while back.
Yep.
There was some fallout from Money in the Bank. As in, there's going to be a triple threat Shield match, basically, for the title.
Yeah.
At the upcoming pay-per-view. Shane McMahon basically stated that he's going to be running Raw and SmackDown.
Which doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all, and I feel like that's going to be contested very shortly, probably next week.
Yeah.
We also found out about the upcoming WWE Draft, which will take place Tuesday, July 19th at 8 p.m. on the very first live edition of WWE SmackDown on the USA Network.
That's a good way to get people to watch
it,
though.
Tuesday night. And yeah, it's the way to do it. On Monday Night Raw, they'll pump the draft the entire time. Tune in on Tuesday to see the draft.
Yep.
I mean, it's a good hook. We're going to watch it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure in the next couple weeks, they may go ahead and do a couple picks or at least maybe explain the belt situation. There's got to be something else said about the draft in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
I know they've been doing the deal. Teddy Long came in a week or two ago. John Laurinaitis was in this week. Like, they're having previous... I'm fully expecting Foley to show up.
I say Bischoff will show up sometime.
We've made the joke that, like, AJ Lee could show up for just a night. You know, it's just... These GMs are, like, vying for control of Raw or SmackDown. And it's kind of a way to go... Because they're obviously going to use none of them.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny.
It's probably going to be Shane and Stephanie on each show.
Shane will probably get SmackDown and Stephanie will get Raw, or vice versa. I don't know. But
or Brian gets one.
That's a possibility.
You know, yeah. But I don't know. We'll find out soon. But, it's one of those things that, like, I've been talking about recently is that stuff in WWE is interesting enough that they actually have... I don't know, a couple of things that we're interested in that are worth, like, predictions and guesswork, and it makes you, makes you excited and interested in watching their product. Like, conceivably the night after Money in the Bank, who gives a shit? But, with the draft coming up, and rumors of people coming from NXT, like, you honestly don't know what you're going to see from week to week right now.
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, it makes us tune in as hardcore fans. I don't know if it makes Johnny Come Lately tune in, you know, but it's working on keeping us tuned in on it. So
that is true. And it's kind of an exciting time, you know. I mean, it's also kind of a, you know, they're not going to really do any kind of major shakeups. At least you don't think they are. But the payoff is usually really good. Draft shows are usually pretty decent shows. And you get a couple unexpected twists here and there along the way.
Yeah. So hopefully what they'll do is do like the main part of the draft on SmackDown, and like we've talked about, like a network thing after it's over.
Yeah,
I hope they don't needlessly break up tag teams.
Yeah, I think they'll probably break up one just to show we can do it.
Bob Dylan's, I mean? Maybe or something. Somebody's
maybe
Lucha Dragons probably.
Lucha Dragons probably. Yeah. Yep.
And then the others will be like, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, plus you get the benefit of you're a tag team champion that, like, they can't break up the champions.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're a champion at the time, you're gold.
And technically, the New Day, all three are champions, so they're all three solid.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. On coming shows, we need to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion event, in which a lot of belts changed hands and whatnot, which usually doesn't happen on a single New Japan show. Like, they usually don't move as much hardware around.
Yep.
We'll also be hitting up Ring of Honor's upcoming Best in the World event.
Lucha Underground.
And, yes, and we are going to do an episode coming up dedicated to the second part of the season for Lucha Underground.
Mm.
So, all this WWE, that's the thing. WWE has managed to monopolize our time, even on the podcast, because... they're surprisingly unpredictable right now.
Yeah.
So, good on you, I guess. You
Vince.
Slick motherfucker. But, you know, I mean, chances are, until the draft, we've got some other stuff to talk about.
Yep.
So, unless something crazy happens, expect a little more of the fringe wrestling that we're more known for talking about.
Yep. So,
there you go. And I think that's it for this episode of Developmental Talent. I'm Lemon Juice McGee.
I'm the Fighting Man Matt Pierce.
And I'm Hoagie Masters.
And we will see you probably in a week or so. Who knows? It's really on our schedule. What, are you lining my pockets with money? No. So I guess we'll record this when we want to.
Thanks for listening to Developmental Talent. But the show doesn't stop here. For more insane ramblings, be sure to check us out on social media. The links are conveniently listed in the text. Also, feel free to send your hatred, praise, and suggestions to developmentaltalentpodcast@gmail.com.